Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host with me today is Yanis Janaeus. This episode, we'll be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Hull City on the road. Top of that, we have some interesting topics to discuss in the Cottage Talk roundtable to start the show. But before we do anything else, I always have to welcome my co-host back to the show, Mr. Janaeus.
Hello!
How you doing, Yanis?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing? It has been very, very cold indeed up here. And Ottawa yesterday was the coldest capital city in the world. And it was colder here in Toronto than the North Pole. And that's even before I saw the mother-in-law. And trust me, my body temperature dropped 30 degrees when I saw her as well.
Now, that's funny, Yanis. I want to mention to everyone that I am fighting a cold, so you're going to hear that in the show, so I apologize for my voice, but I will get through the show. I just wanted to do this show, especially with my friend, Mr. Janaeus. And, Yanis, we have some interesting things to talk about. We're obviously going to be previewing the Hull City match. I know your prediction already. We know where we're going to go on that, but we'll get to that in the second half of the show. But let's talk about some interesting topics in the Cottage Talk Roundtable. I was speaking to Emilio and Scott Tanfield on the last show on our midseason review, and Scott was bringing up the need for depth at both fullback positions. I want to get your thoughts on that, because I didn't think of it in those terms. I thought of it just as a left back, but he brought up a good point about the situation with Ryan Fredericks. I know Dennis Odoi can play both, but the question is, do we need depth at both fullback positions?
Yeah, I think Scott nailed it there. I think we're bring back Scott Malone. Bring back Scott Malone. Yeah, we are short. I think Fredericks has it tied up at right back, but then it's the decision as to whether Slava plays Sess up front on the left. Right. Because if he does, then Odoi slots into left back. But then the question becomes, do we have cover? And the answer is no. We don't. And I think it's just not so much on the right back position, but the left back, it becomes particularly important because you're up against several tricky right wingers in that division. You want to make sure that you've got cover there, and we're not very deep there. I don't think we're very deep at centre back, to be honest, but the full back, especially that left back position. Yeah. I think there's certainly an issue there, and I'm hoping that the powers that be address that, probably not with a signing, but certainly with a loan come the transfer window, which begins on Monday. So I'm getting excited because
well, you should, Yanis.
Yes, you know, let's get Ronaldo, Messi, Paul Konchesky, you know, Darren Bent, whoever is going to come in. Did I say Darren Bent? Oh boy, is right. But we do. I mean, that's one position where I'm sure that Slava's, you know, he's stated his concerns about the lack of depth if one of the guys goes down injured or gets suspended.
Right. And what's interesting, you and I talked about this off air, that I was reading a Get West London story today that Slavisa has stated that he wants three signings. And that's very interesting that he put a number on it. So what are your thoughts on that real quick?
Well, I said to you before the start, I think he already knows two of them. I think he's been specific about signings. He's been very vocal about it. And if the powers that be have been doing, you know, their due diligence, they probably have a couple of them lined up. The question is going to be, who's it going to be? I mean, we know that the Dwight Gale signing fell through at the 11th hour, but there may have been a condition there that that we get a chance to take him, you know, at least on loan in the January transfer window. He would be a huge fillip. There's going to be lots of speculation, Russ. I made a very cheeky comment on Facebook, and the other day, and I do stand by it. And that is a player who is controversial, but can score goals and is scoring goals for fun right now, and has had a very, very good 12 months, is Mario Balotelli. And he's going to want to, I know he wants to come back to England. And what better gateway to a Premier League club than coming back for Valone? Because if you can imagine him in our lineup, I mean, he's a monster, and he's had a very good season again for Nice, and I think that that's something I put it out there, and I didn't get any negative reaction about it. So maybe fans thought about it. Thing is, the Dwight Gale thing, but is he worth a punt if you can get him on a loan because he wants to get back into England and get some interest? I understand a few clubs are after him at the transfer window, and he ended up signing a one-year deal with Nice, but that was just a one-year with right. no option. So he'll be looking for a way to come back. And I think the way he's playing right now, and he also wants to get back into the Italian side. The fact that there's been new coaches in there, I think, is an incentive. So he's somebody I'd certainly take a punt on for the rest of the season, but we'll see.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right. Let's now talk about predictions, because we did our midseason review and we talked about several topics, but we didn't talk about predictions for the second half of the season. So let's talk about the league. Yeah. What is your prediction for the three clubs to be relegated? And I'll just mention the three clubs that are down there right now. Birmingham City are in last with 17 points. Then you have Bolton at 19 and Sunderland at 19, but right ahead of them. I mean, not that far away. You got Burton Albion with 20 points, Barnsley with 22 points, Hull City at 23 points, QPR at 27, Reading at 27, and then Millwall at 27. So, and that goes all the way, Giannis, to 16th. All these teams are still in that relegation area. So who are your three teams as of today that you think will get relegated in May?
I think Millwall will stay up. I really do. I think the hardworking side, I think they've got enough in the tank there. I fear that one of them will be Burton Albion. Burton have punched above their weight last year. I was delighted they stayed up. Unless they make a couple of canny signings, we remember last year we loaned them Lasavigan, Christensen, and Corley Woodrow, and they did a good job there. They're going to need a couple more signings like that. I think Birmingham City are going to go down. I actually have a suspicion that Bolton will stay up.
Okay.
I think that Sunderland are going down. Chris Coleman. Yeah, I looking at their team, they're gonna, for a team that came down with the umbrella payments.
Boy, that would be devastating for that club.
It would be devastating. Yeah, it'd be devastating. They should be much, much better than they are.
Yeah.
Now this will be Coleman's first transfer window, but the question becomes, who in heck's name is he going to get to sign for a team that's third from bottom of the championship? Unless he's got some of the old Welsh contacts that can come in, or he can beg Gareth Bale to come for a few games. I think for me, it's going to be Birmingham, Burton and Sunderland. Barnsley are going to be... Barnsley are going to have to be very, very careful. They don't really have much scoring. I think Schmoll will just about survive. But I think it'll be those three: Birmingham, Sunderland, and Burton. And I say it with a heavy heart, because I hope, even though their goal difference is minus 26, I hope Burton do stay up. It's a remarkable story. I mean, they're the Bournemouth of the Championship, and their size, their ground size is half the size of Bournemouth, which is astonishing in itself. But you know, Nigel Clough has done a remarkable job
job.
He really has, and I think I think that most fans in the division will have a soft spot for them, with the exception of maybe Derby County because they're local rivals.
Right.
But nobody cares about Derby. You know, they should be like the Raptor, the Raptorsaurus extinct. But I fear it'll be them, Sunderland and Birmingham. Go then, hey. But then, if you're asking me the three teams I'd like to get relegated, now that's different, right? Oh, Schmoll would have to go down for sure. The Ha-Ha's would have to go down, and of course, everybody's favourite, everybody's favourite, Reading.
Okay.
What an utterly, utterly boring team they are.
Oh,
good God. You know, you need to fall asleep at night. Watch 5 minutes of their either take a look at their jersey.
They're horrible to watch, Giannis. I'm glad that you're bringing them up because I can't stand watching that team.
Oh, they are as boring. They are as boring as boring Jack McBoring. I mean, they're just boring as James Milner. I mean, they're just boring. You know, there's nothing there. And okay. I think it's hilarious that they got to the final last year, and now they've got 27 points.
I know.
And they're having a miserable time, and they're moaning everybody out. They're moaning at each other. And I was one of the few that actually wasn't sorry to see Sione Aluko go. I always thought he was overrated. And they're really struggling right now. And nothing gives me greater glee than to see Reading or Schmedding or Smegmic build-up or whatever you want to call them, struggling near the bottom. It's brilliant.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. You know, it's funny because I'm going to give you my three that I think are going to get relegated, but I'm going to do what you just did. I'm going to say the three I want to get relegated, and you just named some teams that that are delicious. I'm going to use that word to be relegated.
Delicious.
I'm going to mention it, delicious. So, but I'll get to that in a second. The three teams I have are Burton, and I'm with New Hampshire, who's originally from there, and I don't want to see his club get relegated. It is a great story, but I think that they will get relegated in the end. It'll be too bad. And then I'm going to slightly disagree with you. I'm going to say it's going to be Bolton and Birmingham City. I'm going to say Cookie Coleman finds a way with Sunderland, but I understand why you're picking Sunderland, why you're going in that direction. I just think he's going to find a way and to keep them up. And we'll see. We'll see. The three teams for me that I would like to see relegated would be QPR, Reading, and Millwall. That's what I'll go with.
Millwall. Yeah, everybody's the den, the football club called the Lions, even though they've only got one leg. Just not a my history with Millwall goes back to when I was a little kid. I used to live in Bermondsey, which is it's supposed to be part of Millwall.
I'm going to change my mind on Millwall. I'm going to give them a pass. I can't believe I didn't mention this team because I cannot stand this team. Hull City.
Schmel.
I would love to see Hull City. How Schmel. Did you not mention Hull City? Okay.
How could you miss Schmel? Schmel. Schmel City from a city that's so backwards they don't even know whether they're Hull or Kingston upon Hull, or they call themselves the Tigers, but they're really the Tiggers. They can't figure out whether the city plays rugby league, rugby union, or footy. Schmel. Schmel. May they go under.
They can go. They can go. Seriously, they can go. I'd be happy with them going. I'm not a fan of Hull City at all. All right, Giannis, you actually put a very interesting spin on this roundtable because we're now going to predict the top six, but then we're going to do it this way. I want you to predict the top six, and then I'm going to say, what are the six teams you would want to see in the top six? Because I think that's interesting. It's different. So
that is different.
Let's start with your top six. And then I want you to go back out of it and say, these are the teams I'd like to see in the top six.
Wolves win the division. I think the Cardiff will get the second promotion spot. The next four will be Derby County, Bristol City, Sheffield United, and Fulham. I think Leeds are going to have another collapse like last year, and I'll have a good laugh. The six teams I would like to see in the promotion thing, obviously I'd want Fulham in there, so I mean, that's a given, but the top two I would like would be Wolves and Bristol City. I think Bristol City is a remarkable story, and Hey, and Collie Woodrow's there as well. So he's,
Right.
nothing bad to say about him. And they've done. I remember when Bristol City were in the top division, and that was in the 70s. So they've both Bristol teams have had very, very lean times for many, many years. So it'll be good for the city of Bristol. The next four I'd like in there would be Fulham, Preston North End. I don't. I would love it at Cardiff because Cardiff can just get lost. Derby can. Let's trade Derby to the Faroe Islands for a third round pick and a pickled egg. Leeds United and their thug supporters, don't need them. I'd say Sheffield United. That's three. And I'd probably say Middlesbrough. Just
Okay.
because Middlesbrough's fans, I mean, and it's sort of funny, really, because you've got the Northeast. Northeast fans are always talking about they're the best fans in the country. But you could have a very real scenario here where Middlesbrough could have the potential to go back to the Premier League. Newcastle get relegated, which would give me great delight because I can't see them. And Sunderland could end up playing next year against Southend United, which would be a real laugher. Or better still, Shrewsbury could be right now, the way that the League One is looking, Shrewsbury are going to get
Right.
promoted with Wigan. The
That's
Shrewsbury
right.
could be a division above Sunderland, which could be even if you've ever been to Shrewsbury, you'll know why it's worth a laugh. So those would be my six. And as long as
Okay.
Schmoll and Reading are as far away from the top six as possible, then I'm happy.
Okay, yeah, that's very interesting. All right. I'm going to go with my top six. I'm going to start with Wolves, then I'm going to agree with you with Cardiff City. I think Derby County are going to be there. I'm going to say Aston Villa are going to get in there along with Bristol City, and Fulham will get in the top six. I truly believe that. I'm not backing off on that. I think Fulham are going to end in the top six. Here are the six teams I'd like to be in there. Wolves, I really like what Lee Johnson has done at Bristol City, Giannis. They have to be in there for me. I'm going to say Derby County. I'm going to throw Sheffield United in there because I like the job that they've done there, and I think they deserve it. Fulham, definitely want to be in there. And here's the one that, again, I know a fan of this team, and this is a team that I have nothing against. They're tough, and they're punching above their weight. I want to see Preston North End in there, Giannis. What are your thoughts about them?
Yeah, I like Preston too. I like Preston too. Another team that used to be in the top division many, many years ago. Aston Villa are an arrogant club who
Yeah.
thought that they could stay in the top division forever. And if you've ever been to Birmingham, the city of Birmingham, you'll know why I don't want any of their clubs in the top division. For want of offending any Fulham fans in Birmingham, it's a shithole. And because I'm not even going to call them by that, I'm going to call them Vastenilla, just to have a laugh. Vastenilla have John Terry, and that's all you need to know. They've got
Right.
John Terry in their lineup, and there was a team, I think, Coventry City in League One now, and Coventry City for many, many years had been in the top division for longer than everybody, longer than my mother-in-law had been alive, which is too long. And then they got relegated, and they've never gone back. And I hope Vastenilla will never go back. I think it's great that teams like Bournemouth and Southampton and Watford and Huddersfield are in the top division because they're not necessarily big clubs, and they've got their own unique history. Vastenilla have always struck me as arrogant, and they got relegated thinking they were going to walk this division, and the Sunderland have found out this is a very, very tough division. So I wish they could get relegated, to be honest, but I agree with you. I think they'll be
Okay.
there or thereabouts. I hope that they're not there or thereabouts. I hope
Okay.
they stay in the championship for another 100 years. If not, we get relegated. But some good prognostications there, Russ. Plenty to chew on, and
Absolutely.
our mutual love for Reading, all things Schmedding, Schmoll, and Haha.
Oh, can't stand them. Definitely can't stand them, Giannis. I'm glad that we did this exercise a little bit differently. You took the initiative on that. I actually really like that, doing it two different ways. So that was fun, my friend. Thank you for suggesting that. That was a good way to end the Cottage Talk Roundtable. But let's
Russ, I've got another thing. I've got another thing we could add to this. If Kim Jong Un could press a button to blow up three football clubs, which three would it be?
Oh, Giannis, I don't know. Do you want to
list is long. My list is long, but the ha-has would have to be up there. Although I will say this, I love what they did with those fans who remember Stan Bowles in the 70s, and I think he's got Alzheimer's disease, and what they did for him, I thought was good. And that was a nice touch. So maybe I'll give him a bit of a break. But Schmeding, Kim Jong-un should have that thumb on the red button for that one. And Schmoll, another one. Just aim it to Northeast England there. Oh, Kim Jong, do what you've got to do. Just aim it properly. Don't aim it for London. Just okay. Go north, up the A1, and there you'll find it.
Okay, well, I'm going to name my three that I wish, weren't in the division or anything, weren't a part of us having to talk about these teams. The first one would be Hull City. Here's the second one, because I can't stand their fans, Giannis, because they have this thing with Fulham, and it's Brentford. I can't stand
them.
Cannot stand them. Cannot stand their supporters, sorry. Can't stand them. They're big talkers, and they have this inferiority complex next to Fulham, so I can't deal with you guys. So bye to you. And then just because I can't stand Neil Warnock, goodbye, Cardiff City. So those are my three, Giannis.
Well, we could get rid of the country of Wales if you want, but that would piss off a lot of people. And the thing about Brent fodder remind me of going to school or seeing them at school. The guys are 5'1", but are wearing Gucci belts, Burberry pants, Coco Chanel t-shirts, big guy wannabes. And they don't. They've got a crappy little stadium with four toilets. It looks like it's just come out of a latrine anyway. They got some good players, but what have they got? What has Brentford ever been? Brentford has only ever been famous for Brentford nylons. That's about it. It's a latrine on the side of a road. God knows how they made the championship. But that's the loutishness in me talking, and I'll freely admit it. But then, you know what? As I try to explain to my dear wife and my dear mum, and they don't get it, but I think every fan, doesn't matter who you support, will get it.
Yep.
You support your team, you support your team. And as far as you're concerned, everybody else is shit. Because that's what it is. You could be bottom of League Two and not score a goal all season and be 0-46. And, Crystal Palace are still shit. And so are Millwall. And so are the ha-has. So it's called, following your team and supporting your team. And no amount of logic or anything else is going to tell you anything otherwise, because that's why it doesn't mean you go out and burn, you throw bricks through windows and burn houses and get into fights. It's not that, but it's, you love your team that much that through thick and thin, you support them. And that's the way it is. Right. Husband, that for Christmas, this year I got a teddy bear who's named Andy Johnson. I've got Billy the Badger. I've now got seven bears. And it's not enough, really, because I want my office decked in bears and shirts, because that's people come in, when teachers come in, I say, welcome to the shrine. This is the
fourth. How
come you don't have any Manchester United jerseys? Because they're shit, and I don't support them, do I? I support Fulham. Get it through your thick Canadian skull. Still.
Oh, boy. Okay. Very good there, my friend. All right.
Over.
All right, that was actually a fun way to transition and talk about a team I can't stand, which is Hull City. But before we talk about them, I want to talk about Savisa and his presser from yesterday. And I've got some quotes for you, Giannis, because that's a good way to start our preview of this upcoming match. Here are the quotes from his presser, directly from Savisa. Quote, all the games can be complicated in this competition. Hull will be organized, solid, and will try to catch us in the offensive transition. They will try to wait for one mistake and then use that to try and win the game. We have good momentum right now, and we've built some kind of positive spirit around us. We showed against Cardiff that we can beat every team at this level. We showed that we are motivated. When we follow the plan, when we are organized, when we arrive in the right spirit and with the ambition to win the game, we can do it. I expect we will be competitive and push hard to win the points. Hull is important because it can be 3 points, whether we will be close or far, in front or behind, in the playoff position or not. I really don't know. The situation right now is to do everything we can to push for the 3 points. Try to stay in the right direction we are right now. Try to be positive. Try to be confident and push hard to win the game. We can do it. Now we are in some positive momentum. We believe we are strong. We believe we are a good team. We believe we can beat all the teams in the championship. When we are at this mental level, it is easier for us to win games. All right, Yas, those are some quotes from Slavisa ahead of this match against Hull City. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've got to disagree with him here because I don't, you know, I think that, I think the whole, I'm not going to call them the schmoll, are going to, they desperately need the points. It's the second home game in 4 days. They got a good draw against Derby County, but they're going to be looking, eyeing this as a 3-pointer. And Nigel Adkins will get them to try and attack us. I think what Slav is saying, I don't believe he believes that. I believe he believes it's the reverse. They're going to come at us, and we're going to try and get them on the break because that's where we're dangerous away from home. It's a little bit of kidology, I think, and that's fine because if that's the way he's going to look at it, you can bet your bottom dollar that Cess will be playing tomorrow. So if they want to attack, they can attack us all day long because we've got the pace and power and skill and finesse to hit them on the break. And Slava should be confident about tomorrow's game because it sets up perfectly for us to cause some mayhem against a team that really desperately need the points. They're like the fly on the edge of the pitcher plant right now. They're skidding closer and closer to the abyss. And this is a massive game for them. And they will want to get at least a point, if not three. So it sets up well for the way we want to play away from home. And I think it should set up for success.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, that's all right. I'm going to share some information with you from whoscored.com just to give you some characteristics of Hull ahead of this game. And let's start where both teams are on the table. Fulham are currently 11th with 9 victories, 8 draws, 7 losses. We've scored 33. We've given up 31. We're on a +2 goal differential and are on 35 points. Hull are 19th, 5 wins, 8 draws, 11 losses. They've scored 37. They've given up 41. They're on a -4 goal differential and are on 23 points. So that just tells you a little bit about them. Let's just go to their strengths. Very strong at stealing the ball from the opposition. They're strong at coming back from losing positions, finishing scoring chances, creating long shot opportunities, creating chances using through balls, creating chances through individual skill. Weak at defending against attacks down the wings, defending against skillful players, defending set pieces, avoiding fouling in dangerous area, and they're very weak at protecting the lead. Their style of play attacking down the left, take long shots, they're aggressive, and they play in their own half. All right, Yanis, what are your thoughts about that information I shared to you about Hull City?
Well, you're talking about all those strengths. If they had all those strengths, they'd be top of the division by 30 points. they can't score goals, and they've not had that many leads this year. Dicko's not scored many goals. He went off late against Derby County, and I'm wondering if it was 0-0, and you want to keep your best players on. So I'm wondering if that was a tactical move, or was that a precaution in terms of he had a knock. I don't, they don't, to me, they're like a Barnsley. They'll be fairly well organized schmoll, but, it's not the schmoll team that got relegated by any means. They've lost an awful lot of players and they've not really recouped, even though they've had all the parachute money. It's sort of funny, isn't it, really, that Hull and Sunderland, schmoll and Sunderland got relegated. And yet they got all that money and they've not been able to recoup, whereas Vast and Iller did. But hey, mind you, they lost to Brentford the other day. It's all great, isn't it?
They did.
But they don't really come at us with any sort of there's nothing really there to frighten us. The thing about them, I think the thing we've got going tomorrow is the precariousness of where they stand on the table. They're 4 points behind the Ha-Has, but they're 4 points off the drop zone. So they know that if something slips, they've got a problem. They're gonna desperately want to get at least a point, if not three. Three will give them, you know, something like a, you know, maybe a 7 point, potentially 7 point cushion at the bottom, which is what they, you know, they want maybe to kickstart their season a bit.
Right.
The best they're going to get in is, I would say, is mid-table. But if they lose tomorrow, their run of games coming up isn't. It's not exactly fun. I'm just bibbling on to have a look at the Schmoll's games coming up, because I was reading it earlier and it wasn't. They're away to Bolton on Monday, and that will not be an easy game by any means. And then they've got Blackburn in the FA Cup, and that, to me, I think they're going out there. I believe that will be the same round as they got knocked out last year, lest we forget. And then they play Reading in the Championship. I'm hoping that both teams lose in that game. That'd be nice if they decide that the FA decide that for this game nobody's going to get any points, and that's the way it is. And then Kim Jong-un presses a button and blows both of them up. You'd have never thought, Russ, when you went to bed last night, that Kim Jong-un would get so much mention in today's show.
No, I didn't, Giannis.
But Kim, if you're listening in deepest, darkest Pyongyang, because you've got no electricity over there except in your lovely little palace while your people starve and have no electricity, I'm giving you license to do what you need to do here. It's Schmull and Schmeading. Schmull and Schmeding. So, it's gonna be a good game tomorrow though, Russ. We should have a lot of confidence, and
we should.
I think if we score the first goal tomorrow, I think we could give them a good bloody hiding. Okay. They're not a very good side, and there's no reason why we. And I said to you, I thought we'd get 3 points, and I actually now I'm gonna say I think we're gonna run the table on Christmas. I think we're gonna get 12 out of 12. Wow. I think we'll beat this lot. And then
that'd
we'll
be
play.
Fantastic, yes.
It would. And then my team's coming down to the contest. It should be a great game. I think so, anyway.
I was waiting for Mick. I've not heard Mick in a long time, Giannis.
I know. It's people keep calling my club Ipswich, but I don't believe it. Ipswich Town Football Club. And that'll be a good game on Tuesday, and at least we get a couple of days off.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what I put in my cornflakes this morning, but it's all gone horribly wrong.
Oh, it's all good stuff there, my friend. All right. Let's now talk about Fulham. Key players for tomorrow. I think, you know, again, you've already talked about him. I think Sessegnon, I'm going to assume, you should never assume, but I'm hopeful. I shouldn't say assume. I'm hoping we see him further up the pitch. If he does, I think he could be a major key player tomorrow. How about you?
I think Slava will play the same lineup as the Cardiff game. I think in exactly the same positions. I don't think Cameron will start. I mean, I'm assuming he's feeling better, so he'll be back on the bench. So somebody will have to give way there. But I'd be surprised if they don't have the Ojo, Aiete, Sessegnon threesome up front. I don't see any changes. Why break a disturb a winning lineup, unless of course you've got injuries or illness to deal with? I mean, the temptation is there to give other players a little bit of playing time. I'm not so sure, you know, the potential mention of Font playing. Does Piazon get more than 7 nanoseconds of playing time? I'd like to see him get some playing time. Is that the sort of game he's going to get it? I was really sort of actually going back to the Cardiff game, you know, the Ruddy Warnock, the Mong. I was really ticked off. You know, he just come on the field and, well, it'd been 5 seconds and he got clattered. Like, really? I mean, you know that someone sent the signal, okay, he's just come off injury, get him. That just, you know, classless little twonk is Mr. Warnock. But I'm hoping that, you know, Hull will be a slightly different game and he gets some time. I don't think he'll start, but maybe on the bench, come on for 20, 30 minutes. And we've got Ipswich coming up. And then we've got the cup game against Southampton. So
right.
I think the same lineup with Cess up the pitch. I'd be annoyed if Slava doesn't play Cess up front.
I would tomorrow. Too.
I don't believe he won't. I believe he'll be starting.
Up front. Okay, and I'm there with you, Giannis. All right. What do Fulham need to do to win this match? You think that he's kind of playing it coy here. He's telling us one thing, but you think he's expecting something different. So what do you think will be his strategy against Hull City?
Same as Cardiff. Attack high up the pitch. Quicker movement on the ball, quicker movement off the ball, more combinations. Get Cess involved as much as possible. Make sure you utilize their fullbacks. And just, you know, just go at them. Just go out their back four. We showed, you know, Cardiff, a couple of big monsters at the back, tough defenders. But, you know, you saw a couple of times when Sessegnon took Bamba for breakfast, lunch, supper and Christmas dinner. And he's one of the better centre-backs in the division. So
right.
We should be able to give them some problems. We're going to create a lot of chances tomorrow, I fancy. And I think that we should be able to score a few goals. I don't see really any reason why we cannot knock them off
okay.
tomorrow afternoon.
I hope you're right there, my friend. All right. What's your starting 11?
Exactly the same as we saw Saturday. So Betts in goal. Fredericks, Odoi, Callas and Ream, midfield of Kearney, Steph Joe and K-Mac up front, Ojo Aite and Cess. I think the only change you may see will be on the bench. I think that Camara will come back in and then somebody's going to have to give way. You take your pick there, but... assuming that Camara's come off, he's recovered from his illness, whatever that was. I'm going to make a prediction. Let's say De La Torre will make way, and it'll actually make for a good bench because if it goes according to what we had against Cardiff,
right?
You know, Jallo, Cabana, Norwood, Piazon, Font, and Camara with Button. It's a strong bench. But I don't see any reason why we change the lineup unless somebody picked up a knock in training or somebody's got a spot of the deli belly. I think that it should be the same 11 that went to the Tafts and beat them.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right, it's time for predictions. I'm going to go to the Cottage Talk Twitter poll that I did earlier. I had 149 votes. Win was at 68%. Draw was at 26%. Loss was at 6%. So that's a good majority of Fulham supporters feel that they are going to win on Saturday. I'm with them. You're with them. But what's your prediction? What's your score prediction?
My prediction is that Schmel are terrible. and so a lot of the teams in the division, and they don't deserve to be footy clubs. I think we're going to beat them 2-0. I think it's going to be a comfortable win. And I think it's a crucial game for us because it really, how Fulhamish would it be that we beat Cardiff and drop points against Hull? And really, if we want to be taken seriously moving forward, we have to go to a team like Hull and win. I think,
sure,
you know, it's because it'll be, we'll say, well, Cardiff was a one-off. Well, we don't want it to be seen as a one-off. You know, this would be the third win in a row. This would be our sixth win in eight games. And we want to be taken seriously. And it would be the perfect result just before the transfer deadline. This is what we want. We want to get players in here. And for that, we don't mean Darren Bent. We need players that can score goals or defend at the back or, you know. And I think that a win would be a big fillip for us. And I believe that I believe we will get 3 points tomorrow.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right. I'm going to go with my usual 3-1 full victory against Hull City. And that's what I normally do. But Giannis, you've now inspired me because we've done this Cottage Talk Roundtable where what we're predicting, what we hope for, This is what I'm hoping for, Giannis. Take a guess what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for 6-0 to Fulham. Does that sound familiar?
I would be more inclined probably to 16-0. They get four players sent off in the first 5 minutes for having a punch up with each other while they're attacking a corner kick, the only one they get in the game. And four players get sent off, and we have to play against seven men, and then we're winning 12-0 at half time. And Font has scored 11. That one's for Emilio, by the way. Font scored 11 of them, seven with his left and four with his right. And then we win the game, and then Font gets up on the roof of the KC Stadium and starts doing a Michael Jackson moonwalk backwards. And then he's wearing a jersey saying, "I love Emilio." But in orange and black Hull City colours.
Just cause. Well, I cannot stand Hull City. This goes back to me far, to my history. It goes back about 9 or 10 years. And then it really continued when Jozy Altidore went down there and went down very easy and got a penalty against Fulham. And it just continued on and on. There just seemed to be this team that just annoyed the hell out of me. And they still do. And I'll never forget that 6-0 victory back in 2013, I think it was. And so I hope that we win, and I hope that we take them apart and did a 6-0 on them. I know that's not going to happen, but I'll take my 3-1, Giannis. I don't know.
You know what? You never know. I mean, we've got this sort of attack where if we decide, we're going to go run roughshod on a team, we will do so. You know, listen, if Virgil van Dijk is worth £75 million to Liverpool, then we could go to Schmull and win 25-0.
That is bizarre. That reeks of desperation from Liverpool. I'm sorry. I saw that. What are they doing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I remember back to the Liverpool side of the 70s and 80s. And, you know, I think of Phil Neal and Alan Kennedy and John Toshack and Emlyn Hughes and Tommy Smith and, you know, and Alan Hansen, Mark Lawrence and Bruce, you know, I mean, goalkeeping Bruce Grobbelaar, but just Ray Clements, just where Liverpool's defensively were always just tremendous, tremendous players and ambassadors of the game. And they've got Dejan Lovren. Now, Lovren, I don't think Lovren's a bad centre back. I just think he's had a really, really bad time there. Sometimes a player goes to a club and the fit isn't there. Fernando Torres at Chelsea, even though he scored some big goals, he never really fit in there the same way as he did at Anfield. Think for me, Van Dijk I'm just thinking, although Vincent Kompany has been injured the last 3-4 seasons, if Van Dijk is worth £75 million, then Vincent Kompany is worth 75 bajillion, gazillion, dillion, illion, patrillion. I don't know. I think the transfer market has gone nuts. And you know what? Yeah. All jokes aside, if he's worth 75 million, how much is Sessegnon worth?
Yeah.
With potential and what have you. It's a bizarre signing. You're right. It's a desperation signing.
It is. They wanted him so badly in the summer. They didn't get him. So now they're going crazy with this bid, and sounds like it's going to happen. And they got their man, but it's silly money. And I agree with you, Giannis. I mean, if he's going for that, what about Sessegnon? That's all I'm going to say about that. Because Sessegnon, look at his age and look at the upside. I mean, come on. But anyways, enough of talking about. I don't want to talk about Liverpool. Let's end the show, my friend. What are your final thoughts? Before I get your final thoughts, I just want to wish everyone a safe trip up to this match, up to Hull City, and a happy new year to everyone. We'll be doing another show, but I always want to wish everyone a happy new year. Giannis, your final thoughts?
Same here. I wish, you know, safe travels up to Humberside, and hopefully you won't find a washroom that isn't overflowed up there. And I'd like to publicly apologize to all fans of Schmoll, Haha, Schmedding, Brent Fodder, Ipshit, if I've personally offended them. We all know that Fulham are the greatest team in the world. And if you don't like it, get lost.
All right there, my friend. All right. Let's wrap up this show. It's always fun doing Cottage Talk with you, but it is time to go. Ooh. For Yanis and A.S., I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.